We've been set free. The power of sin no longer has hold on you when you abide in Christ. All the false guys want to show you how to deal with sin through systems rather than relying and trusting in Jesus Christ. Sin has been defeated at the cross. The power of sin has been defeated.
Thanks for joining us for this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today is Letter Day, where we have a chance to hear what our listeners are saying about Equipping the Saints.
And Dave, I have a phone message from Victoria from Wisconsin. She called initially because she was concerned that some radio stations might be dropped because of a lack of support for the ministry in those areas. And then she mentioned, "He puts it out there so plain, I just love his teaching." Well, Victoria, thank you for your concern, and we so appreciate it. We appreciate your prayers that God would supply, that his word would get out. And certainly, if anyone listening has been blessed by this ministry and you want to support this ministry by becoming a partner with us, we would so appreciate it. Our desire is to get the word out. And then, Victoria, thank you so much for your encouraging words. It is a blessing to us.
So, Greg, what will we be studying today?
Well, Dave, today we're going to continue our look at how not to be spiritually taken captive. And within this, we're going to begin to see our marvelous salvation in Jesus Christ. So then turn with us to Colossians chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 11 through 12.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
We have been saved. Our souls have been saved. We are new creations in Christ. And in Christ, although our body of flesh has not been redeemed yet, we're looking forward to being glorified. We are complete. In Christ, we're complete. That means when we abide in Jesus, we have everything we need. And his word abides in us. And see, that's where the false teachers get you. You got to do this, this, and this instead. I'll give some examples later. So here, you've been made complete. Tremendous statement that puts a lot of spiritual stuff out of business. In Christ, you've been made complete. Remarkable statement concerning the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. The implications of this verse are massive, and we talked about it last time. Because we are in him, because of our relationship with him, we are filled to the brim. That's that verb. We have everything we need because of him. And I mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to read it for you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord. It's a relationship. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him, that's the Lord Jesus, who called us to his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises. We have his word. We have his word. We don't need Christ plus a list of do's and don'ts. Yes, we obey the Lord, but we do that as we abide in him. His commandments are not burdensome. We don't need Christ plus some special knowledge. We don't need Christ plus some religious ritual. We don't need Christ, as we'll see later on this chapter, and angels to help us out. We need Jesus Christ. We don't need to treat our bodies severely to be righteous. We need Jesus Christ. You'll see those examples later on. Do you believe that Christ is all you need? If you don't, you're going to get taken captive. You're going to get spiritually kidnapped. See to it that no one takes you captive. It means don't let it happen. And then lastly, we saw that he is head over all rule and authority. We saw that the rule and authority speaks of the angelic world, specifically the fallen angelic world. Those are those rulers and authorities under Satan, but Christ is head over them. He has complete victory over them. He is over them. Satan and his demons were defeated at the cross. Jesus publicly defeated Satan and his cohorts of death, their only weapon being sin and its result, death. They have been disarmed, rendered powerless, publicly defeated, triumphed over. Christ did that. So then how can we escape the snare or trap of false teaching when it's so subtle and it's so persuasive? How can we do so? Well, we're going to see as the rest of it goes from verses 11 to 15. We're only going to see 11 and 12 because in Christ we have complete salvation. Verse 11, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And then he goes on to talk about the forgiveness of sins, our sin debt, having been nailed to the cross. Praise the Lord. And the defeat of Satan and his cohorts. So now as we begin our passage, long review, begin our passage here, we see the first portion here. It says, and in him you were also. Now, literally here, you could translate it this way, in whom also. So we are to not be taken captive by these things rather than according to Christ, in whom. You see, he's continuing that because Jesus is God, because in him you have everything you need, because he's far above all the demons, and because in him you have a complete salvation. That's what he's going to share. He says here, in whom, and we're going to see, we were circumcised. You go, what? What's going on here? We'll talk about that in a minute. With the circumcision of Christ. Here's kind of the way the verbs work here. In whom also you were circumcised, circumcision of Christ, and buried and raised up with him in baptism. You were circumcised, that's the verb, and there's some participles, buried and then raised up with him. That's really how these portions fit together. So in him, we've been made complete. And so something happened when we were saved. When you believed, or if you believe today, something happened when we were saved. We were circumcised in Christ, he says here. He says, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You're going, what in the world is he talking about? Well, I think he's going to start nailing some of the false stuff. He's going to start hitting it head on with the truth, addressing really what circumcision is, the spiritual circumcision, and secondly, what baptism truly is. Because bad guys will come and say, hey, you got to follow these things. You got to do this stuff. Oh, you need to do this to be right with Jesus. And those are part of those things, I believe. We're going to see later on, he says, let no one act as your judge. And according to these Jewish things, he'll say, don't let them do that. Don't let them tell you you're spiritual by doing these things. Those things which are a shadow, but Christ is the fulfillment. See, the bad guys always focus on the shadows. That's how you can spot them. They focus on the external, not the meaning. So here we have this statement here. We're going, wait a second. What does he mean by this phrase? In him you were also circumcised. Is he speaking of physical circumcision? Well, we're going to see. No, he is not. He clarifies it. Look in verse, middle of verse 11, with a circumcision made without hands. It's not physical. He clarifies that. So it's something else. But we need to understand how this is. So what is this idea of circumcision? Well, to understand what he's saying here, we need to understand the physical sign and symbol, and that will help us understand the spiritual reality. So what was physical circumcision? Well, a study of Scripture will shed light on that. And we see that although circumcision was required by the law, earlier in Genesis 17, we see that circumcision was the sign of God's covenant with Abraham. Genesis 17:11, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. God clearly says what it is. And you think about, what is a sign? What's a sign? A sign is something that points to something. When I'm driving along and I see a sign that says falling rocks, the sign is not the falling rocks. The sign is saying, there's some falling rocks ahead. It's pointing me to something. It's not the reality, but it is pointing me to a reality. And so here we see that this is the sign of the covenant between God and Abraham. Signs in and of themselves do not represent reality, but they point to them. The bad guys get you to focus on the signs rather than the realities. We're going to see that. They get you to focus on the keeping of the symbol rather than the reality behind it. So brothers and sisters, it's important to remember that God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12, which was based on faith. This covenant was salvific, that God would be their God. It was based on the reality that through Abraham's seed, all the nations would be blessed. The Redeemer, Jesus Christ, would bring forth salvation. It was a covenant between God and Abraham. Abraham didn't have to do anything. God did it all, and God does it all. Abraham believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And so later on, we have that there is a sign regarding this covenant. Turn to Romans chapter 4, because it talks about Abraham. And if you think about the flow of Romans, you have the theme of Romans, the righteous by faith shall live, chapter 1. And then God shows the unrighteousness of man, the pagans who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, then the religious Jews who are not saved, who are under sin also, and then the summary that all are under sin, and then the solution, justification by faith in Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 4, an explanation of what faith is by looking at Abraham. And so as we look at Romans 4, he says, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. It's back in Genesis 12. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing upon the man to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. Psalm 34, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. When you trust in Jesus Christ, you receive his righteousness, and your sin is not imputed to you. It was put on Christ. He bore it on the cross, and we are declared righteous. But then notice what he says here. Is this blessing then upon the circumcised or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it reckoned? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while he was circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith which he had while uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be reckoned to them, and the father of circumcision to those not only of the circumcision, but all who fall in the steps of faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. Saying basically, Abraham was saved before the sign. He was saved. He was declared righteous. The sign was a sign of that relationship. And therefore, God commanded that, right? We see that because they were supposed to turn to the Lord their God and trust with him with all their heart. They were to love with all their heart, mind, and soul. But we know the Jews did not do so by faith. We know that. Hebrews chapter 4. So, Abraham received the seal of righteousness of faith which he had while uncircumcised. It was an outward symbol based on his trust in the Lord. The seed that would come, he believed the truth. Now, although we see circumcision spoken of later on in the Mosaic Covenant, it's not the sign of the law. It's not the sign of the Mosaic Covenant. It is the sign of God's covenant with Abraham. And as we're going to see, circumcision was an outward symbol, and it always meant to represent an inward heart change. It always was that way, even back in the Old Testament. Now, in Romans chapter 2, a passage that has been woefully misinterpreted by those who want to turn the church into Israel, Paul is making the case that Jews are under sin. And in proving his case, he says the true Jew, in contrast to the outward hypocrite, is the one who has had a heart change. Romans chapter 2. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. He's saying, regarding the Jews, somebody says, I'm a Jew in the context of a Jew of the Lord, say, you're not a true Jew unless you've had a heart change. The outward symbol doesn't make you a true Jew. The heart change does. So with that in mind, this principle applies to all of us, Abraham's spiritual children by faith in Jesus. Notice the same spirituality the need for the cleansing of the heart, spoken of in Romans 2, is threaded throughout the Old Testament. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, Deuteronomy 10 verse 14. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, and the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples. As it is this day, circumcise then your heart, stiffen your necks no more. It's a heart change. Jeremiah chapter 4, you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 4. We have the Jews of Jerusalem and Judah who are in rebellion. They're in sin, and God is about to bring his judgment and exile into Babylon. And Jeremiah shares this from the Lord. Jeremiah 4 verse 3. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up the fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart. There needs to be a heart change. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God, and this is who does it. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live. If you don't love the Lord, and you never have, and you never have a desire to, then maybe your heart has been changed, but it's still hardened by sin. But what God does is when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he, in a sense, spiritually removes that covering, in a sense, and our heart is now able to interact with the Lord. The sin has been removed. The attitudes, the sin, as we'll see, removed through the circumcision of Christ. So here, back in our passage, you see, we have hardness of heart before we come to faith. We've got sin. And our flesh, sin corrupt, is deceived. It needs to be cut away. And then, so there's the picture. So back in our passage, Colossians 2:11, we have the same principle revealed here. And in him, that's speaking of Christ, or in whom, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. The removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And Christ circumcised your heart when you got saved. You had a hard heart, you got saved, now you get it. Your heart is sensitive to the truth, it's sensitive to sin. You understand now. So he says, in the room of the body of flesh. In him, we see that this was made without hands. It's not a physical act, it's a spiritual act. Now, this term translated removal might be helpful to understand. Apodousis, it literally means to take off clothes, putting them off. And so here, it's interesting, can also speak of disarming. Later on, in verse 15, we're going to see that Christ had disarmed the rulers and authorities. And so here, we see what God has done through Jesus Christ. Marvelous, marvelous thing. We see that when we come to faith, we were circumcised, not an outward symbol. Without hands is the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Remember in Deuteronomy, we saw that the Lord will circumcise our heart that we would love him. It's going to take away the hardness, that flesh that is in the way. Okay? So what he does, we're changed, we're new creations. It speaks of the hardness of the sinful heart that's covering it, being cut away by Christ. So then, physical circumcision was the sign of the covenant that made with Abraham. It was an external action that always symbolized an internal heart change through faith in the Messiah and thus the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happened when we placed our faith in Jesus Christ? He removed the flesh. In the sense that, as we'll see, because we still got this flesh. I still struggle with it. He removed the flesh in the sense that it has been disarmed completely. In that sense. You can see that in Romans chapter 7. Let's turn there. Paul is agonizing. He wants to do the right thing, but he finds himself doing the wrong thing. And Romans chapter 7 is just showing us our inability to do what God wants us to do apart from Jesus. And ability to do it. Romans chapter 7. I find then the principle of evil present in me, verse 21, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different principle working in members of my body, waging war against the principle of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been set free. The power of sin no longer has hold on you when you abide in Christ. All the false guys want to show you how to deal with sin through systems rather than relying and trusting in Jesus Christ. Sin has been defeated at the cross. The power of sin has been defeated. So we are all Abraham's spiritual children by faith. And if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been circumcised in your heart. You now have the capability to love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul. You now have the capability to abide in Jesus Christ. You have the capability to respond to Him because, as we'll see in a moment, we have the Spirit of God in us. We have Christ in us. Do you realize Christ has removed the power of our sinful nature inherited from Adam? We do not have to yield to sin. We'll see this in Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? May it never be. How will those who died to sin still live in it? He says later on, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. And that's only in the context of recognizing our relationship with Christ, as we'll see, and who Christ is and what He's done. Yes, do we struggle? Yes, do we fail? We as believers, we're the confessors of sin. We get convicted. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're those who are convicted about sin. We're not walking, just sinning up and not worrying about it. We're actually confessing. We're forgiven. We're those who are forgiven. We've had a heart change. The heart of stone has been replaced. We can now respond to the Lord. We have a changed heart. We have His Word that works in our hearts now. We have His Spirit that works in our hearts now. So then, have you been circumcised? And you know what I mean, not externally. I'm talking about a heart circumcision. Brothers and sisters, you don't need a system on how to handle or manage anger. You need Jesus. You don't need a book on how not to lust. You need Jesus. You don't need to make promises to God or other people. We need Christ. We need to renew our minds in Christ and then abide in Him. When we abide in Him and His Word in us, then we're able to walk with Him. And He delivers us. Not all the time. We're not perfect. We know we sin. If we say we have no sin, we're liars. But we confess when we fail. The power of the flesh has been removed. Now, when we're in the flesh, when we yield to it, we don't feel like it's been removed. When we offer ourselves to sin, we become slaves to sin. When you yield to sin and you haven't confessed it, you are a slave to that sin, just like you were before. But we've been set free in Christ. That's how we're freed from sin. We confess and He delivers us. He forgives us. We have forgiveness. We'll see that in the next portion. We have complete salvation. False guys want to come on and say, here's how you get out of it. Here's how you stop sinning. Here's the way you do it religiously. You need to treat your body hard. You need to have help of angels. You need to have rules. You need to have this and that. You need to follow the Old Testament law. You need to do this and that, whatever. They bring in things. They twist it to get you to follow those things, the externals. You need to do this external thing rather than trust in Christ. Don't get taken captive. In Him, we have been made complete. Okay, so it's an inward work. When you believe in Jesus, He changes your heart. That's what He does. He changes your heart. Then notice back in our passage, verse 12, He says, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today we've just begun to see that we believers have been circumcised in Christ.
Yes, we have, Dave, but we've just scratched the surface concerning what spiritual circumcision is. So make plans to join us tomorrow for our next edition of Equipping the Saints, where we're going to find out what this really means.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.